Do you know what it will entice you to clean? If your house smells like a beach afterward and it doesn't smell like, you know, cleaning products. Well, enter Clorox. They can transform your space into a tropical getaway by upgrading your cleaning routine with coconut-scented Clorox Scentiva. It smells like coconut, it cleans like Clorox, and it feels like inspiration. With a refreshing scent that will leave your home clean and fresh, elevating any room into an oasis. Now you can express your style and get shiny clean. Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents. This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hey guys, welcome to the Almost Famous podcast. Ben is out this week, so that means I have a co-host. Let me give you some hints. Okay, she's blonde. She has blue eyes. She has made two appearances on the Bachelor franchise, and she has a twin. Okay, you have 5 seconds to guess who it is until they introduce themselves. One, two, three, four, five. Who are you, mystery co-host?
Well, I was thinking that everyone was going to think it was the other twins, but Kendall.
Oh my goodness. Look at how shady I was there. That wasn't even on purpose. And yet it could apply. I guess it couldn't really apply to them because I think they've done 3 seasons. I think the twins came together on 2 seasons of Paradise, and one of which they were kind of annoyed because they went in on the last week.
that would be, it's always difficult to go into the last week, I feel.
Oh yes, for sure. For
You're playing catch up.
Well, we're going to talk to you about Paradise in a second, but you know, I have to build to that. So Kendall, what have you been up to since the last time we talked to you? You had a book come out. It was, man, has that book almost been out for a year?
Oh, dang.
Just curious. A notebook of questions.
Yes. That's actually really insane. I didn't even think about it. It's my authoriversary coming up. No, I think it's coming up in, it launched in November.
Oh, wow. I was totally off. Yeah. Okay. So you've
been talking about, like, I was in production, I think, of actually making it happen. So,
okay, great.
Yeah.
So there you go. You've been an official author for 6 months. You came out with a book called Just Curious, A Notebook of Questions, which is so fun. I love a bunch of random thought provoking questions to ask at a dinner with people that you like have dinner with all the time, like with your family or like your best friends. You're like, man, like, what should we talk about that is different? And like, this book can do it so well. So you want to ask a question or two to start this podcast off?
Yeah, that sounds fun. Let me think. I didn't prepare questions before, but let me think of an interesting one that I haven't talked about yet.
Okay. Because like, we do host chat, and this would be like a great host chat.
Ooh, let me think of one. I'm like, I wish I had like a whole list of them on me right now, so I can just like, or if I should buy a book on me right now, I can just open to a random page. But let's see. Ooh, one that I like asking, because I think it causes people to get a little bit uncomfortable depending on your vulnerability. But I love asking, when was the last time you cried?
Oh, well, look at that. It's a very appropriate question for me.
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's good that I can't really think about it. That can't, like, doesn't come to the top of my head.
Happy tears count, too.
Okay. Well, I mean, last night I got choked up. Like, I felt like I was on the verge of tears because Maria Menounos' mom died. And I've just like, I've always been a fan of Maria. She's such an idol to me. And I've just been following her mom's journey. And her mom has had brain cancer for a while. I think she went into remission. And then she ended up getting an advanced brain tumor. I think re-diagnosed about 6 months ago. And she passed away yesterday. And I had like all that heavy heart and like the closed throat and like the welled up eyes. I didn't actually cry, but that's kind of like the last time I felt emotion like that, which was, you know, 12 hours ago. So that makes very much sense for me. What about you?
Yeah, that's heartbreaking. But for me, I had like a little petty fight with my brother about something random. And I cried then. I feel like I cry easier and easier the older that I get.
Really? It's the opposite for me, which is, well, really, really good. But that probably just means that I cry an appropriate amount at this age.
Yeah. As long as we're like getting it out there. I heard that when you cry, there's a chemical that's released that's a painkiller.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It physically feels good to cry.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, like, that makes total sense. That's why people say I needed a good cry, right?
Yeah, because then you're like filled up with all these endorphins. You're like, yes, it's like a little cry high.
Right. So, Kendall, you are still living in LA. That is where you're from. You have a wonderful poochie. And are you still doing set design?
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't do creative directing or set design anymore. Okay. Yeah, either maybe for like friends' birthday parties or like baby gender reveals or something. But I haven't gone in depth in set design for a while.
Okay. So tell us an average day in the Kendall life.
Well, right now I'm in Austin exploring here. I have a friend that might potentially move here. So
wait a second. You have a friend that may potentially move there, or you may potentially move there?
Not me. Okay. My friend. Yeah. So I'm here for emotional support with that.
Okay.
But COVID's still very much a thing. So I'm kind of slowly branching out or feeling more comfortable in traveling and doing stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But daily life, I hang out with Pistachio. He wakes me up at like 7:30 a.m. every morning. He's an early riser.
Oh no, that's too early.
Oh, it's way too early. But he's just like, breakfast is at this time. It must happen. and so I do that. Do some work, like emails on my computer from home, or if I can go to a cafe or a park. I love working at the park. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's in LA. I mean, it's pretty chill. Nothing too crazy happening right now.
So have you been on dates since you broke up with Joe over a year ago now? So has there been anyone of note?
I have been on dates. Yeah, I'll say that. It's hard to, I mean, dating in LA in general is difficult, but I've definitely put myself out there and I've been very open to it. And I've had some good dates. Yeah, there's some good vibes about that.
Good.
We'll see.
So is there somebody that you've gone on multiple dates with that like it's still going to possibly be more dates with?
Yeah, I would say that. I've gone on a couple dates with somebody and, you know, I'm down to go on more dates.
Okay, so that's great. That's great news. Is there anything from your relationship with Joe that you learned from that now you look for in men that you wouldn't have prior?
Yeah, I mean, I learned so much from that relationship. I feel like that was the relationship that I just threw so much trust in. And right off the bat, was just completely honest and open. And I think that really expedited the relationship in a lot of ways. And it was the first relationship I actually saw potentially turning into a marriage. Mm-hmm. So that was something very new for me. So I think I am able to recognize it a little bit more moving forward. So, I mean, it was just a gift to be able to experience that from him. And so I think every single person that I date, I'm like looking for that next level of connection.
Gotcha. So Paradise is coming up. So I would be not a very good Bachelor podcast host if I didn't ask you if you'd be open to going to Paradise.
I'm not sure. I mean, there's so many people who have been on the show who never had Paradise last season.
There's a minimal amount of spots and a lot of competition for them.
Oh yeah. There will be blood. There will be blood. People have seen enough of me, I think. So I don't know if that's something that I want someone else to be able to experience like falling in love in that way, because it is so amazing and you can't really experience it anywhere else. So I feel like there's just so many amazing women who, you know, are deserving of that.
That is so kind and generous of you. Seriously, how selfless of you.
No, as if it's like my choice. I'm like, oh, I bestow my gift of my Paradise spot. No, it's not even.
Oh my gosh. Well, I don't know. I could totally see them wanting to do something with you and Joe the way that they did with me and Jared. And it's just like a storyline that I think the audience is still rooting for. And they would love to see more of. How could you imagine yourself there if Joe was there as well?
I would not want to watch him fall in love with someone else. Definitely not. I mean, that would suck so much. But I want him to be happy. Like I want him to find love, not in front of my face.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm just so thankful that you said that would suck and you didn't just say that you'd want him to be happy, because like you need to be honest in this and it would suck and that would be horrible.
Yeah.
Do you think that at all, like an experience like that could get you guys together? Or do you think that door is completely shut?
I think that there'd be a few things that would have to happen in order for me to see, or both of us probably to see a future. I think that our end goal is very different. And so unless he shifts that, I mean, I don't know. Joe's so great. I think there's been so much time since our relationship that it'd be really interesting to see like what that would look like, if that's even possible. But I still have a tremendous amount of love for him.
If you found out that he was going and they also asked you, would that deter you from going?
It might. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just because I feel like, it would just be really difficult. And he had mentioned before, I think in another podcast, that there were girls that he was interested in that were in past seasons. So I'm like, well, if he's going on there with like someone in mind, I don't necessarily know if I have anyone in mind, you know, that I would go on there for.
Right.
So, I'd just be like signing up for another heartbreak, it doesn't sound logical, but you know, love's not logical. So
it's true. In hindsight, like our audience, I don't know if they remember, but like to me at least, it sounded like you guys really did break up because of location. Like he needed to be in Chicago and you just said, no, I'm staying in LA with my family. And I completely get it. Like Jared just, it's kind of like, I don't know if it's a joke sometimes, but he was like, if you if I knew that long term we may not have ended up back in Rhode Island, it would have been like a harder commitment for me, because he loves his state and he just thrives by his friends and family. He's a totally different person here. I mean, I still think we would be together. I know we would still be together if I wasn't cool with it, but I know the relationship would be more difficult if I was not down to be in Rhode Island. So in hindsight, now that you've had like a year and a half removed, what do you think the crux of your issues were?
I think it definitely was. I mean, where you are is your life, you know, how you spend every single day. I would love more than just one person. You know, you have your partner and that's amazing, but that's not your entire life. Like, I have my friends and family who I'm extremely close to. I have a twin sister. She's like literally part of my body.
Yeah. No, I love that. Because I don't know if I told you this last time you were on the podcast, but you once told me that you thought that your, I don't know if you told me or you told the whole public, that you thought that your sister was your soulmate. And then after hearing that, I was like, I think my sister is my soulmate too. Like, even more so than I would call Jared. Like, I think Jared is my perfect destined person for sure, romantically and as a life partner. But my sister, when it comes to the word soulmate and like soul connection, like she can read, like we just communicate in a way that I don't think it would be possible for anybody else.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And the longest I've ever lived away from my sister was 6 months, and I lived in San Francisco. She lived in LA and that wasn't even that big of a good traveling distance. So imagine like Los Angeles, Chicago, like that's
it.
Just, you know, a world away.
Yeah.
So not really, but yeah. So, and I also, I want to have a family. I want to, you know, have children, and I envision my family being a huge support in that.
Yeah.
So I guess that was just, I never envisioned leaving LA, and I never thought that, you know, Joe would want to leave LA. That was just something that we couldn't compromise on, and his family and friends are amazing. So he's like very much in the same boat as I am with that. So yeah, we just couldn't figure it out. And I think that's almost the hardest way to break up, you know, because it's not about any, there's nothing like fundamentally wrong with our relationship. So it's weird to think you can definitely fall in love with more than one person in, you know, many different ways, many different places. So yeah,
it's kind of like people who want to have kids or don't want to have kids, because we were talking about this on Jared's podcast the other day, Help I Suck at Dating. little side plug there. But there are like couples where like they'll be perfect in every single way, completely compatible, but it's like one wants kids and one does not want kids, and they're both so firm in their decisions on that that it just cannot happen. They can't be together. It's kind of like you guys with location.
Exactly. And there's a couple deal breakers, you know, and not all of them mean that the other person's a bad person.
Right.
Or not the person for you. It's just.
All right. Let's move on to Bachelor headlines, guys. Kendall's going to stick around for this and our upcoming interview with our beloved Devon Franklin. Devon Franklin was on to talk about Chris Harrison in February, I believe, and he was such a wonderful guest, and he's here to talk about his new book. We're going to talk about relationships with him and some hot topics in Bachelor Nation, like the fact that Matt James and Rachel Kirkconnell or Kirkconnell? I'm going to keep calling it Kirkconnell. They are back together. But first, we have a word from our sponsors. What keeps baby skin healthy? A diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. That's why Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to help keep your baby's skin dry and healthy. We have been a Pampers family since the start with Dawson. It takes you a few months of experimentation to figure out what really works, and for us, Pampers really works. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex. All that so important. Try Swaddlers with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. Want to know where all the spring savings are this year? Ross. You'll find huge deals on all the latest spring trends.
At Ross, you'll find brand names for 20 to 60% off department store prices. You're definitely finding your next favorite outfit.
We're talking about savings on your favorite shirts and tops, and I mean every style for spring.
There's something for the guys too, with deals on brand name shirts.
And you can get outside this spring with savings on outdoor tableware.
Seriously, just visit your nearest Ross and see for yourself. If you really love savings, head to Ross today.
So what are you waiting for? Say yes for less at Ross. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about using your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call
1-800-DISCOVER to get the service that you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
All right, guys, welcome back to Bachelor Headlines. Kendall, have you been keeping up with the hot topics in Bachelor Nation? Have you been watching the seasons?
I have been watching the seasons.
Okay.
In terms of like all the breaking news and who's dating, who's not dating, I do hear like a little bit, but I'm not so in it.
I'm sure you'll be able to follow along. So yeah. I will be reading the headlines and the bullet points. And if you've got something, an opinion that you're just burning to talk about, please do. All right. Our first headline is Matt James says he's pursuing a relationship with ex Rachel Kirkconnell. He says, I'm focusing on it. So he says, I've seen Rachel a handful of times. He confirmed this to People magazine while discussing a partnership with Dick's Sporting Goods. Lucky him. He says he's not pursuing any relationships right now outside of that. I said I was going to focus on my relationship with her, and that means focusing on it. He also said when asked about whether she's doing the work that she promised to put in regarding to educating herself about racism, he says that's something you could talk to her about. He says a lot of what I'm focused on right now is the work that I'm doing in the community and with the marathon that he's training for. He also said that there will be no chance that he or Tyler Cameron will be on Bachelor in Paradise.
I know. That would be a bloodshed.
Oh my God. I mean, like, I'm pretty sure I knew Matt wasn't going to be doing Paradise. And Tyler, I would also think, would not be doing it either. But I mean, I'm sure that disappoints many ladies there. Okay, let's get to like the crux of this. He is seeing Rachel. So he's dating Rachel. This is, in my opinion, I think this is great. I think that there is a lot of love there. And I'm just wondering, like, this is what I talked about on Help I Suck at Dating a couple days ago. It's the same headline we went through. I just have to be a little bit honest. It kind of feels, I have to be careful with my words here, but it kind of feels like he threw her under the bus a little bit during, after the final rose. Like, he kind of honestly seemed so over her. Like, he couldn't even look her in the eyes. He couldn't even hug her. And yet here we are 6 weeks later and he's dating her again. So was that just for, was that just for looks? Was that just for show that he just seemed repulsed by her? Like he would never give her another chance. I remember getting on here with Emmanuel Acho's brother the day after. And he was like, oh, there's not a chance that those two get back together. But now we saw them together on a date in New York City 4 weeks after that finale episode. So, I mean, what do you feel about the authenticity of Matt showing his emotions to the public?
It's difficult because I feel like they have so many conversations that we are not aware of, that you don't have a little sneak peek into. So I'm sure they've excessively talked about it. And it's difficult when there are a lot of opinions coming in from different people that don't know what you're talking about, that don't know the work that's being put in necessarily. And I also have to think, like, the heart wants what it wants, right? So I feel like if that he genuinely has care for her and she genuinely has care for him, then it's very difficult not to explore that and not to give it a chance. I almost feel like with love, sometimes it's not voluntary, you know? Mm-hmm. You so badly don't want to do something or feel like it's not good for you or it's not right, but, you know, we make that call or we text or we go on another date. And I'm not saying this is the situation with them because I haven't heard their conversations or anything. And I do genuinely think that she has an open heart just from everything that I've seen. But if there's genuine love there, then I don't know. I'm always a champion of that. I'm always a champion of people giving it a chance.
Me too. Yeah,
it's between them, you know?
Yeah. And exploring it to the utmost, honestly, like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't have any curiosity there. I'm always that person. It's if you feel like there's curiosity left in the relationship, buy the plane ticket, go on that date, you know, exhaust it because you don't want to live life in regret.
Thank you. That's what I always say. Seriously, burn it out because at the end of the day, you may want to be like, oh, no. I want to play it cool. Like, I just want him to think of me like I was just like chill, cool girl. No, that's not going to get you anywhere emotionally and mentally in the long run. And then you're always going to be thinking of that person. And that is going to be very bad for your future relationships.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to look back and feel like I regretted not giving something a chance.
Yes. So looks like Rachel and Matt are doing that. Now, Matt, this is a perfect transition over to from Matt's season to Katie's season. Matt says that Katie Thurston will be the best to ever do it. He says this, she's incredible. She's going to do so well. I'm excited for her to have this space to find her person. He says, I think she's going to be one of the best to ever do it. And it's not going to be a surprise to me as we watch everyone across the country fall in love with her. Well, those are very sweet words from Matt James. Interesting to lead that headline into the next headline because we can do so much speculation here. Katie's season wrapped ahead of schedule. And quote, she was in control. A source, an exclusive source tells Us Weekly that Katie was in control and made sure the men she wanted were there and the men she wasn't interested in, she sent them packing. Okay. What's different from that from any other bachelorette? Apparently, it went great and they wrapped a week ahead of schedule. They also said that Tayshia and Caitlin were able to help Katie along with this journey. And it was just fun. They were a great team, Caitlin and Tayshia. Okay. Wrapping a week early, do you think that that is a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it probably means that there was enough drama to sustain an entire season. So maybe there was just like a lot that happened.
I mean, I'm mind boggled. I think that it may not have been even a whole 5 weeks that they were filming. And I guess like when you cut out travel, that like naturally cuts out weeks.
That's so weird. So it wasn't even 5 weeks, because I'm thinking
when she left,
it was like 3 months. It's like 3 months of filming.
So normally, I think
it's just a lot.
Normally, it could be 9 weeks, I believe. And then with her, it was definitely less than 6 weeks. I want to say it was just about five. That's fast. It's a fast turnaround. It's not much different than Claire and Tayshia's season. Mm-hmm. But I'm just wondering, like, could it mean that multiple people left, that they didn't have as many? There's chopping blocks. Like, did she eliminate
a chopping block?
Yes. Did she eliminate a lot of guys? Did the guys leave?
Judging by how it was discussed, it seems like she got rid of people.
Yeah.
A lot. So it's like she was in control, which makes me think that she was like, bang, 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 you're out. I know who I want. I would actually be, when I first saw that, I was curious to think, what if she got rid of a bunch of guys in the beginning? And so there was just more time for a smaller amount of men, which I think would be really interesting.
I mean, hey, that's a twist we've never had that I would love so much.
And we can get to know the guys so much more. Like, I feel like with Matt James's season, there were so many girls coming in that I felt like I didn't get to know all of them at a more personal level until a lot later.
Yeah.
So I would like to see maybe some men shine more, like the ones that she actually has genuine connections with, like maybe even like there's like five for a couple weeks. Like, I don't know. I just think that'd be really fun.
I think that would be so good. People will get so attached to those characters. Mm-hmm. And it's those kind of bonds that the audience develops that makes us live for Monday nights. And I felt like I got that with Tayshia's season.
Yeah, like multiple one-on-one dates, you know? Like,
yes.
I think that would be so rewarding. And it just shows so much more of their personality. And again, like you said, like there's just so much more investment in those relationships.
Yes, yes, yes.
And the heartbreaks would be that much more devastating.
Which is horrible for the men. But,
I know.
But very good TV for us.
Oh, it's important to have at least one good heartbreak in your life, you know?
I agree.
I love heartbreak. It's like, hurt me, dang it.
Oh, yes, but no. Like, can we? Yes, but no. There is beauty in the heartbreak, and you don't really notice it or appreciate it until you, I think, are happy with somebody else. And then you can look back on heartbreak fondly, which is bizarre, but that's the way it was for me.
No, I agree with that. But then also, I feel like you're allowing yourself to feel so strongly for somebody. And that's cool to know that you're capable of getting there. You know, like my recent heartbreaks that I've had, I'm like, oh man, it's just so cool that I was able to love someone that intensely. And I mean, hopefully there's someone in the future, but you know, you're right. Like initially right after a heartbreak, it's like, this is the worst ever and I hate it. But
All right, let's get back to some Katie headlines. Katie posted to Instagram for the first time. She was talking about how she got her vaccine. She also joked this week about her family searching for a ring after the Bachelorette season wrapped. I guess her family, because she says, this is my family searching for a ring. I guess the family is just joking about, like, you know, like, does she have it on her or anything like that? Oh. Because she doesn't get to go home with the ring.
Wasn't it Tayshia that lost her ring in the sand or something?
What? I don't remember this.
Oh, never mind.
Was that somebody else?
It was like a different reality show or something where someone like lost their engagement ring in the sand and they were like, everyone's on hands and knees searching for it. But never mind.
No, I think her family is just like, oh, are you engaged? And then they're trying to find the ring, can't find the ring because guess what? It's not in her hands.
Yeah. Okay. I see. Like as if like, oh, it's in her luggage or something, but
yeah.
That'd be the first engagement off of the show in a couple seasons, if she does end up getting engaged. Right. Or maybe there was, because Matt James didn't.
Well, Tayshia got engaged.
You're right.
And so did Claire. So
Oh, never mind. I'm so up to date with this stuff.
It's okay. It's okay. It seems like a long time ago. So right. Caitlin Bristow got on her podcast this week, and she said that being part of Katie Thurston's season actually brought up some trauma. So she got on her podcast and she said, a lot of people are asking how I'm feeling. They know I took a social media break for a couple of days. I was very overwhelmed. I think it was such a perfect storm in a breeding ground for anxiety because I was truly back in a world of, you know, I'm happy to be part of this Bachelor show, but I didn't realize how much it had brought up some either trauma or anxiety that I may not have dealt with as much as I thought I had. She doesn't share specifics, but she did say my hormones are out of control. I'm in New Mexico where I swear the altitude and the dryness and the hotel food was just getting to me. I mean, yeah, I can imagine that. Whenever you step foot, like I've been to the Bachelor Mansion a couple times, really only have fond memories there. But like going back to Paradise, just like being at the same location where so many feelings unfolded and being with a lot of the same producers who you confided in during those moments bring up so much nostalgia, and you can just place yourself right back to where you were. It's kind of wild. I can't imagine how that would have been for her.
It's like a little time capsule of emotions, I can imagine, like with every, because I feel like there's those certain stages of getting to know somebody and then having to battle between maybe loving more than one person and then getting engaged. Like I can see that bringing up a lot for her.
Mm-hmm. And then you kind of start thinking about people of your past too. You start thinking about like the guys you dumped and like how would life have gone that way if I ended up with that person and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And for Caitlin, really, it was probably kind of weird because like when she thinks of that experience, she probably thinks of Sean. You know, she met Jason through the Bachelor, you know, family, but that experience is all about Sean. So she probably ended up thinking about that relationship a lot. And that can always make you feel all sorts of weird.
Mm-hmm. It's like you have to kind of go through the breakup again or go through the happy times and then the devastating times as well.
Yeah. But Caitlin also said on Good Morning America this week that it's going to be really fun. Tayshia and her had a really, really fun time being there. They love Katie. She said, I'm definitely not going to say much because I don't want to get in trouble, but I can say it might be. Oh, she says, maybe I can say it's the most dramatic season yet. Ah, come on now. Ah, come on now. I don't know. We've gone through so many dramatic seasons. I actually can't even think of a spin.
This is drama in general. I can always picture, like, maybe the spin of having less guys. That could be dramatic.
That's a great spin, but it actually feels less dramatic. It feels like there'd just be more love and less fights amongst. I don't know. Maybe that would lead to more fights because then the guys would have such a deeper connection with her. Who the heck knows?
Yeah. Well, there's going to be drama regardless. That's what this show is all about.
Did you see Caitlin reunite with her dogs, though, after coming back from The Bachelorette?
Oh my gosh. I can just imagine because she's so, so close to them that it was, I haven't seen the video, but I know that they're super close, but we should not allow to have them on the show. Cause I know that a lot of people bring their dogs.
Yeah. So she had her dogs there for a while with Jason. I think that they were there half the time. And then she had been alone half the time. And I think that they're kind of like her emotional support animals. So I'm assuming that would have been hard with them gone as well. Kendall, what the heck did you think last week when Chris Harrison and Lauren Zima posted that picture of her in the white dress in black and white?
Oh, I don't know if I
you didn't
saw,
see it.
I saw that he posted a picture of her like an appreciation post, and he was like more lovey-dovey than I've seen him.
Oh,
with
her. I thought it was very sweet. I was calling everyone saying Chris and Lauren got married. I don't know why I was so convinced of this, but I was not alone. There were a lot of people speculating that they had gotten married in Texas. It was a black and white picture. Okay. He's in a suit. She is wearing an elegant floor length gown. It looks white. It probably wasn't white because you find out that she was actually a bridesmaid. The caption read, I'd stop the world and melt with you at Lauren Zima.
That's what I saw.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I saw that. I was thinking, I did think initially, like, oh, was there a proposal or something?
Okay.
But it was definitely like a highlight of like, this is serious. Oh, I have it right now looking at it.
Oh, I thought they eloped and I thought it was very romantic.
But, I would love if they did that.
But they did not do that. She said, wow, like way. Lauren said, I love you so much and appreciate all the congrats, but this bridesmaid's dress is really living above its potential. So they were actually just dates at one of her friends' weddings. But maybe one day they will have a wedding of their own.
I love their relationship. Yeah. So I really
yeah, me too. They're very sweet together. Okay. So speaking of weddings, potential weddings, Claire Crawley, guys, is wearing her engagement ring from Dale Moss again. She posted something, an Insta story, and she's sipping out of a juice box and she's got her ring on her. Is that her left finger?
I saw that screenshot.
I think like in reverse. Is that her left finger? I'm trying to look at the picture right now. Yeah, because it does flip. Okay. So guys, I think it's on the left finger.
I did. I saw that. And I was like, that's a really pretty like screen grab.
It is.
It definitely is her engagement ring.
Yay. Good for them. That is so, so happy. We'll talk about this one a little bit later with Devon, but Rachel Lindsay announces that she's leaving the Happy Hour podcast. So we'll talk to you guys about that in a little bit. That doesn't mean the podcast is over. She says, this podcast is amazing. Hands with you, Becca. I just feel like this is a place where I can walk away and I know it's all good. I know it's going to be great. And you allow me to have the space to step away when I need to. And I would listen to the podcast on the side and I'm like, oh, she's got this. I can walk away. So I will be supporting you, Becca, from a distance. Rachel is also writing her own. A book is coming out. She says that it's a personal essay themed book. So what does that mean? A personal essay themed book?
I think it's, well, ones that I've read are, they're just a bunch of different topics.
Okay.
It's almost like a bunch of little mini books.
Okay.
In one book.
Like little diary entries, but they don't have like a flow to the topic, the themes.
Yes. Yeah. So maybe there could be like one big central theme and a bunch of different stories that make up that theme, but I wouldn't say they're all like one book.
Okay. Gotcha. So her book is going to be called Miss Me With That. And seriously, like, could Rachel Lindsay conquer more in this world? her resume is amazing. She Instagrammed this week, I've been waiting to share this, so thrilled to finally be able to tell y'all what I've been working on. I've been working on my first book, Miss Me With That, a collection of personal essays, and we got a while to wait on this one. It comes out January 25th, 2022. She says, I can't wait for it to be in your hands. Y'all know I won't hold back. I'm telling my story, sharing my experiences, and opening my heart.
I don't know how she has time for all of that.
I
commend her. That's so great.
Kendall, I've been thinking about this multiple times. I'm mind boggled by how hard this woman works and how like she must sleep 4 hours a night with all the jobs that she has. Bravo. Oh. She's incredible.
Yeah.
Let's go into some new couples was the question mark news. Cassie Randolph was seen with boyfriend over the weekend. Okay, so it's a rumored boyfriend. His name is Brighton Reinhart, and she and him were spotted on Sunday in Huntington Beach, her hometown. And he looks cute. She looks cute. I got nothing much more to say about that, but I hope that Cassie's happy with this new boy.
Yeah, I think it's probably difficult to hear all the news with Colton as well, and like balancing that with a new relationship, like getting bombarded with a bunch of things.
Yes, 100%. Let's do a little Google search of this Brighton Reinhart. Do we think that he's like a celebrity? Is he like in the Hollywood realm, like her sister's boyfriend, or could he be just a regular old dude?
He doesn't look familiar. I'm looking, I think is this his Instagram?
Yeah.
Or maybe this is a fan Instagram. You never know. There is a fan
There's a picture of the two of them together. It's not from either of their Instagrams, but okay. So he's a musician. He's a producer / singer songwriter. He also seems to be a Wilhelmina model. He has a song out.
So part of that world.
Part of that world. Cassie, this is a little bit breaking news. 34 minutes ago, this came out and we got source quotes now.
Ooh.
Okay. The source says she's really happy and she's definitely moved on with her life. They were in Cozumel, Mexico together in April.
Well, it looks like there is a new relationship then. Good for her.
Yeah. Wonderful. That's very happy. That's very happy news. Yeah. All right. Now there's one that may not make many other girls who are part of the Bachelor franchise and possibly headed to paradise very happy. There's a picture of Mike Johnson and Abigail getting cozy. They were both in New York City this weekend. And wow. In this picture, guys, Mike kind of has his hand through Abigail's hair. He's got his nose nuzzled up to her cheek ear area.
He's whispering a little secret or something.
100%. Where did this photo come from? Was it somebody's story? Okay. Yeah. Somebody's Insta story. And they screenshot this. So neither of them posted it. My question here is this. Are they going to date now? Or are they getting ready to date in paradise and they're already coupled off?
I'm not sure because I think there were like a couple rumors of who he was potentially going to date. I know that Piper was really interested in him as well. I heard her saying that he was her crush. Mm-hmm. And then they all did hang out in New York, but man, I'm so curious. I mean, okay, what's interesting is that because there's been so much time between, and there's so many people who could potentially be on Paradise, a lot of past cast, there's been so many rumors with a lot of different people, like Bennett apparently asked.
Oh, Kelly, he broke that news right here on the podcast.
Oh, did he? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, basically, you know, he said he asked Peter for permission to date Kelly, and it's like, well, you know, how about Kelly gives you her own permission? However, I think maybe he used the wrong words there. He basically just said, like, Peter, would I be ruffling your feathers, I think, if I were to ask Kelly out? Because Bennett also made it seem as if he and Kelly have already been flirting through the DM.
That's what I thought when I initially heard that. But then I heard he went on a date with
Kit. No, he Kit didn't go on a
well?
Nope. He debunked that right here. He said that they just met as friends. He really feels like their age difference is too significant.
Oh, but it's just so interesting to see that there's like everyone's hanging out. I've seen people, you know, in they have a hang out in Florida, New York, like everywhere, San Diego. So it's interesting to see that much of a crossover when there hasn't been a season of Paradise. I bet you there's gonna be like similar, you know how
with
you know,
Blake.
The whole
Yeah, situation. It's going to be so sloppy. The sloppiest.
That's 100% going to happen again.
So many Blakes.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can already tell. Yeah, that's another reason why I don't want to go on right now.
You know what they should do? Oh, my God. Okay, this is what we actually thought was going to happen at the beginning of my Paradise season because they had us to come together for Lacey and Marcus's fake wedding, and we thought that they were about to do this. And, man, why aren't I a Bachelor producer? What if there were two realms? Two beaches in which there was like 20 people here and then there was 20 people there. And then you have them date amongst their 20 people for like 2 to 3 weeks. And then all of a sudden you have them walk on the beach and they walk and they meet each other, the two groups, and everything crashes and collides. Oh my God, let's do it.
That could happen. I mean, because there's so many people, it wouldn't be a surprise to maybe have more characters on the show like that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's more room for more people.
I know.
That would be insanity.
So then we could do like Monday and Tuesday, beach number one. And then on Wednesday and Thursday nights, we have beach number two. And then midway through the season, they collide and we just do Monday and Tuesday nights.
It was a face-off.
I'm exciting myself with just my hypotheticals.
I like that idea.
Well, we got one last headline. And it is a breakup, which makes me think, is this person going to be in paradise? Maddie Pruitt. She says she's single again after a recent breakup. Says she recently just got out of a 8-month relationship. I was in a relationship for about 8 months. She says, quote, she never admitted that in the past. She said, but it just didn't work out. It just wasn't the right time. Who knows what the future holds? She says that she has been on a few dates since the split. We have never gotten real confirmation, but it is rumored that the guy that she broke up with was Denver Nuggets player Michael Porter Jr. So do you see Maddie in paradise now or nah?
I'm not sure after her experience on the show, she'd want to go on another show.
Yeah.
But at the same time, maybe that just had more to do with Peter and the whole situation with that and like how that went down. But I don't know. I think she's doing just fine finding love without being on Bachelor. But at the same time, it could give her another chance to
opportunities.
Yeah. And also Paradise is such a completely different experience than being on Bachelor or Bachelorette. Mm-hmm. It's just a completely different show.
Yeah.
So I can see that being, it's very tempting. Mm-hmm. I can see it being tempting for her.
For sure. I mean, do we get Peter on Paradise and like really mess this thing up?
No, not allowed.
No. Let's put Peter and Hannah Ann and Maddie all there together.
Oh my gosh. It's there's been so many people dating. It's very like incestuous in a sense. Like everyone dates everybody. Mm-hmm. So I can see a lot of clashing happening there. A lot of different storylines.
Yeah. And like, I know you guys, we really don't get paid anything to go to Paradise. You know, it's like mm-hmm. a per diem type situation.
Yeah.
But please, producers, pay these people to get all the juicy juiciness on TV. That'd be worth the paycheck. Do you not? It'd be worth it.
I mean, it's so funny because there's so much that happens off camera. So I feel like we all have to be caught up mm-hmm. with Paradise and like know the inner workings, all the secret relationships that have been happening. I mean, that way that seems to always happen every year. You know, people mm-hmm. can't help themselves.
No, they can't.
But like, I made it a rule for myself. I was like, I'm not going to date anyone in Bachelor Nation. Like before I went, I was like, mm-hmm. I'm just not doing it.
Very smart. Very smart.
I think it's the best way to do it. You know, going fresh.
You left with a relationship. So that's the way to be.
Yeah. It didn't add any drama because if you go into Paradise with a bunch of things that have happened in the past, then you know you're going to have to handle it like publicly.
Right.
And that's something that I want to avoid.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have gone through all our headlines and it is time to get Devon Franklin, the author of the new book, Live Free, Exceed Your Highest Expectations on the podcast. We're going to be talking to him about Matt James and Rachel. We're going to be talking about Rachel Lindsay's decision to leave her podcast and advice for Michelle, who will be the next Black Bachelorette. So stay tuned. But first, a word from our sponsors. What keeps baby skin healthy? A diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. That's why Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to help keep your baby's skin dry and healthy. We have been a Pampers family since the start with Dawson. It takes you a few months of experimentation to figure out what really works, and for us, Pampers really works. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex. All that, so important. Try Swaddlers with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean. So it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox. And it's captivating with scents that's just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you.
Want to know where all the spring savings are this year? Ross. You'll find huge deals on all the latest spring trends.
At Ross, you'll find brand names for 20 to 60% off department store prices. You're definitely finding your next favorite outfit.
We're talking about savings on your favorite shirts and tops, and I mean every style for spring.
There's something for the guys, too, with deals on brand name shirts.
And you can get outside this spring with savings on outdoor tableware.
Seriously, just visit your nearest Ross and see for yourself. If you really love savings, head to Ross today.
So what are you waiting for? Say yes for less at Ross. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about using your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call
1-800-DISCOVER to get the service that you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
All right, guys, we got Devon Franklin back on the podcast. If you didn't hear his episode with us a couple months back, definitely go back in the archives and listen to that. It was one of my favorite episodes. He's one of my favorite guests. He's so full of warmth and love. And if you guys don't know who he is, he's a multimedia like legend. He's an award-winning Hollywood producer. He's a New York Times bestseller. He's a renowned motivational speaker. He's followed by millions of fans, including Ryan Seacrest, who calls him the self-help master, and Oprah, who calls him a different kind of spiritual teacher for our time. He is the author of some best-selling books, The Success Commandments and The Weight. And now he has a new book out that is going to be released tomorrow, May 4th, if you're listening to this a little bit delayed. And it's called Live Free, Exceed Your Highest Expectations. Devon, welcome back to the podcast. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, wow. Thank you for having me. It's always a blessing to be here. It's like coming home. So thank you.
You're the cutest. Okay, so let's start out by talking a little bit about Matt James rekindling his relationship with Rachel Kirkconnell. So we didn't talk to you after the finale. It was actually, in fact, a couple weeks before the finale that we talked to you. And so much has gone on. People were predicting whether or not they would be together. And then on After the Final Rose, it seemed like they would never be together. And now, it was like 4 weeks later, they were spotted in New York City together. I was saying to Kendall earlier in the podcast, I was like, I'm kind of second guessing his authenticity during After the Final Rose because he seems so turned off by her. What is your take on all of this?
Oh boy. Wow. How much time do we have?
So much time, all the time you need.
You know, here's what I saw when I watched the, you know, after the Final Rose episode. First and foremost, I saw, and this is going to sound harsh, media company malpractice, because they knew this information was, they had it, they didn't do anything about it. And who paid the price for it? Not Rachel, but Matt, the first Black bachelor, having to grapple and deal with what does that mean? And then having information that the company withheld that could have been nipped in the bud. She could have never been a contestant ever if they thought, hey, you know what's in her past? Or he could have been, he could have been made aware, like, hey, we normally would never do this, but you need to know this because we don't want you to be blindsided. There's so many things that could have been done, but here he was, deer in headlights, having to grapple with all of it and then do it in the public. So what I saw was a man, and what deeply moved me was, like, when you saw the promo for The Bachelor, when he started clean shaven, happy, like, oh man. And on that show, he was a shell of who he was when he started in terms of his public presentation.
I said that there was symbolism to the beard.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. And now, you know, the beard is gone, and he's, you know, seemingly rekindling the relationship. But so what I saw was someone who unfairly was put in a situation that they then had to deal with. And I think that he probably felt, you know, I haven't talked to Matt. I don't know Matt. So I'm just, you know, extrapolating here. He probably felt like I have no other choice right now than to take this stand. Like, if I don't take this stand, am I really being, you know, am I being honest to myself? Am I being true to what it means, you know, to be a Black man? And it, like, it's like there was no win. So I understood the idea of, like, hey, you know what? I'm going to check out of this and wait. So I didn't look at him as someone whose opinion you can't trust per se. I just saw someone who was put in a situation that he should have never been put in, and there was no guidance on how to do it. So the best thing he could do was just protect himself. All I can do is protect. And the best way to, what do we do when we protect? We retreat. You know what? I gotta protect me. Now, with hearing that that they're rekindling, I'll be honest with you, I was very happy about that. And you know why I was happy about it? Because no matter what, all the factors, be them as they may, and, you know, all the things that shouldn't have happened, they seem to genuinely have a real connection. And in my mind, she seemed to genuinely seem remorseful for what happened. So in any relationship, this is any relationship, to what degree are you going to hold the past of the person you're dating or you are falling in love with against them?
Do you feel like there was, this sounds like an obvious question, but I'll ask it anyway. Yeah. Do you feel like his decision there on that stage next to Rachel, where, you know, he didn't even hug her, or for so what we saw, there was pressure for him to make the decision not to continue to see her?
You know, I think, you know, again, okay, as a Black man, if I'm put in that situation, I understand the decision. Because, you know, it's like, how, it's a very hard thing to go out in front of the world as a Black man and accept publicly what all of the facts. It's very hard. So, you know, if anything, maybe the pressure was to just get out of this. Like, you know what? This is blown up. It's much bigger than I know how to deal with. The best way is for me to retreat, pull back, and get out of it. So maybe he felt that pressure. I don't know if anyone in his crew were pressuring him. I don't know what the pressure from the network or the producers may or may not have been. But I could imagine there was some pressure to just, you know what, this, I can't, no. And then also he did say that when he brought it up to her, there was some discomfort in her response, right? But, you know, again, I'm not, I'm not, I'm not making any excuses for her at all. You know, but if you've done something that you have no awareness of, your initial response could be one of ignorance. Like, hey, what do you mean? Da, 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 da. Not really being in touch with what it really means. So I don't know what pressure he was under other than this is beyond me. This is overwhelming. I really didn't ask for this. This is not what I asked for when I came on this show. Who was protecting me? Who? And that's the thing that really just, it's like we all talk about media, we all talk about what goes on in the public, but if you look closely, this is the cost when we talk about ratings and we talk about, you know, everybody just wanting a big show. It's like, yo, we can still do that, but who's taking care of the people? Mm-hmm. Oh, so we're willing to sacrifice people's lives for viewers, for eyeballs, with no accountability. I mean, seriously, again, I don't know what ABC and I don't know what the producers are doing in their internal groups, but there's got to be some accountability around this. We should pray he comes out of this and he's able to navigate. That's why I'm so excited that they're getting back together, because if that was a genuine connection, don't let anybody take that from you. You go and explore that for yourself, and on your terms, you decide if that's the right person for you, if that's the right fit on your terms. But there were things that could have been done to help him along the way. So I think he felt the pressure of getting out. Like, hey, this is over. We're done. I got to just get out of this the best way I can.
Yeah. Do you feel like when he was on the stage out after the final rose, he was confused about his feelings for Rachel? Or do you think it was so much more than that with how his reaction was with everything?
No, I think he was very, I mean, you know, again, I haven't talked to the brother, but I think he was very confused. I think so. How could you not? Because then also, you know, it's like I have these legitimate feelings on both sides. I can't believe she did this. I can't believe the woman I fall in love with has done that. And then what does that mean? You know, so yeah, I think he was legitimately confused, trying to sort it all out, having to do it in front of the public. Everybody's watching. Well, if he had stayed with her, he'd have been vilified. Leaving, he was, you know, there was no win and very little support and protection to ensure that what needed to be factored in was factored in, which was really how he was feeling and how she was feeling, and making sure that they both had enough information to gauge whether or not that was a real feeling or just something that was produced.
On that note, Michelle will be the next Black Bachelorette this fall. So do you have any advice for her or the franchise when that time comes?
You know, again, I'm not well-versed in how it all works behind the scenes. I mean, you know, you all have a much better idea about that. But if I were her, I would have a very candid conversation with the producers, with the network, whoever the liaisons are, and say, hey, here, let's get some ground rules. If there's anything in anyone's background that is racist, prejudiced against anyone or anybody, and you're going to keep them as a contestant of the show, I need to know. Period. End of story. Like, I'm not going to go through a process and then all of a sudden, like, no. You all are doing background checks. Anything that is going to, that I need protection as a Black woman, I need that information. Because I'm not going to go through what you all put Matt through, right? And also, you can't afford for me to go through it, because if I go through it, you may not have a franchise anymore. Mm-hmm. It's still TBD what's going to happen with this franchise. It's not out of the woods, okay? It's still TBD. So if I was Michelle, I would sit down and get really clear about what I need. I need more transparency. I need more protection. And I need to not just be looked at as a contestant. I'm a person. I have a heart, I have emotions, right? This is real for me. I know it's a show for you, but this is real for me. And I need some help and some guidance in that way. You asking me, I would say, hey, who of color do I have here as a support system on the production side that can help me if I have some problems?
Yeah. And it is it's a very real show. And I think a lot of people lose sight that these are real people experiencing real love, a lot of emotion. What do you think needs to happen next for the franchise?
And again, this is going to sound crazy. Okay. You're asking me these questions. I'm just going to answer them honestly.
Yeah.
I think you got to bring Chris back.
Okay. And why?
Why? Because if this is the end of Chris, let me put it this way. All of us have been on the job and done something that did not always represent the type of employee we've been. All of us. You know, when I was an executive for Sony, you know, I made a few mistakes in terms of how I handled a project and handled some people. They didn't throw me out. They said, we know your capability. We're just going to take this as a mistake. Mm-hmm. But if you do it again, it's going to be a problem. But take this as a warning. Okay, I got the memo and I got back in there. And, you know, my whole career has thrived since then. So when you have someone who's been as loyal, as dedicated, as integral to the show, if that was the last we saw of him, it just leaves such a bad taste in the mouth of all of us. And I say us being a part of Bachelor Nation. It's like what he said was wrong. There's no excuse for it. He has said that. He's continuing to do his work. He's continuing to be remorseful, and he, I believe, is owed a shot to get it right. Because then when you go back and you say, well, what did he do that made him get fired from the franchise? Like he was not unkind. He was not, you know, a terrible person to work with. He didn't violate any ethics in that regard. I understand that what he said was wrong, but when he talk about losing your job, I think that he deserves a chance to be brought back and let the public decide. If he is coming back and he's doing his work, let the numbers say to tell the story. But I personally feel that if you get rid of Chris over what happened, I don't know. Something about it doesn't sit right with me.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that he can be integrated back into the show just right off into Paradise, or should there be another type of interview with him?
I don't think he can be integrated back into, well, you know, honestly, Paradise is probably the perfect integration for him because it's a little more fun. It's a little more carefree. It's not, there isn't as much attention on Paradise from a media standpoint as there is on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. So Paradise could actually be a great way to see what the public is saying about, you know, him as a host and whatnot. And maybe this idea of you know, having, you know, female hosts that he does it with someone else, you know, where it's not all on him, but there's someone else there, you know, having a woman there that can, you know, help carry the load. And, you know, and also that's probably what should be anyway, you know, I just think that balance is a good thing. And I think it's good for the franchise. So I actually think easing him in back on Paradise might be a good move.
Last question about Chris. Yeah. I just want to know if you've talked to him recently, because I know that you were in communication with him back when we spoke in February.
Yeah, we communicated, you know, right around, we communicated all through that moment and, you know, and even after the final Rose show, you know, I just checked in on him and said, hey, man, how you doing? He said, you know, I'm hanging here, doing well. So we haven't talked since then, but I did connect him, you know, with some resources that he was taking advantage of and really committing to the work. So that's why, you know, I can tell you personally stuff that's not even in the public, type of work that he is committed to and the work that he's doing. So, you know, I should probably reach out to him and just say, hey, man, what's up, bro? Just checking on you, make sure you're good, you know? So I'm going to do that now that you mention him.
Everyone was saying that the show was so different with Chris not being there. And he always was such an advisor of sorts for the men on the show. So I do like the idea of having Chris and maybe another female host to have that balance, because he has so much experience with bringing people through the journey that is The Bachelor.
Totally. And you know, and what he knows and his ability to just ground the proceedings is valuable. It's a valuable thing. You know, again, I don't know. I mean, you know, again, I know my opinion could be very unpopular as it relates to this, but I just feel like he needs another shot. And I think he's earned it. I mean, my goodness, you know, he's been doing it for so long. And even if there was a plan, let's say the network said, hey, Chris, we're going to have to move on. Let's just say that was their decision. Make that a process, you know, like, okay, hey, we're going to have you on Bachelor in Paradise. We're going to do this. And then, you know, on the next thing, we're going to, you know, phase you out and let this host, but, you know, whatever it is, but let there be a little bit more elegant way to handle this than just to say, okay, no, Chris is never returning. See y'all later.
Yeah. Now that Chris isn't on Bachelorette, do you think viewers were going to have a completely different experience when The Bachelorette airs?
Totally. I mean, the thing about Chris though, is it's like, it's almost like, you know, when you're at camp and you never know when your parents are going to show up, you know?
So, yeah. least expected.
So when the parent is gone, like, listen, if Chris ain't there, everybody going to be wilding. It's probably, you know, I mean, you know, Bachelor's going wild. That's probably what's going to happen. So I can't wait to see how it all works out without him being there and without his presence. You know, being a presence in the show.
So we have so many contestants coming up fighting for spots in Paradise. Do you think that your new book, Live Free, could help them when it comes to fear and anxiety around finding love?
Oh, without a doubt.
How so?
Because, you know, this book is all about living free. And when I say living free, it means that you and I, we are not under the mental, emotional, or physical control of anyone or anything. And the way that we become free is to set expectations for ourselves. We don't allow anyone outside of us, the people we love, the culture, we don't allow our gender, we don't allow our race to set the expectations that we live by. We set those expectations. So when you talk about, you know, the contestants trying to find love and being single, first and foremost, and I talk about this in the book, there's a whole section in this book on relationships. There's multiple chapters on relationships, on being single, and how to manage our expectations. First and foremost, if you are single, it's because you are whole. There is nothing wrong with you as a single person. And if you are not cultivating and practicing your happiness now as someone who is single, I guarantee you when you get in your relationship, you ain't gonna be happy. Mm-hmm. Why? Because if you're looking to, you know, to become a contestant on The Bachelor and be in Bachelor in Paradise, oh, because I want to find love. Well, have you found love first in yourself? Because if you do not look in the mirror or when you take a selfie, if you don't love that reflection, you then become open to manipulation. How? Because you're going to want somebody to do something for you that you're not doing for yourself. And then it's like you heard this idea, oh, this person makes me happy. I think that is the craziest statement ever. Why? Because the moment I say you make me happy, make means create. So I'm giving you the ability to create what I should be creating for myself. You can contribute to my happiness. Thank you. But I am the creator of my happiness. And so if somebody is trying to be a contestant, the way to do it is through confidence of self. You know who you are. You are great with what you have to offer. And the more you learn to love yourself and the more you unleash the power of your singleness, you're going to be a better evaluator of the people that try to court you or try to date you. Because you're going to be like, nah, you don't actually love you don't love you. And if you don't love you, ain't no way you're going to even learn how to love me. So I'm going to move on, right? So there's so much knowledge in this book that absolutely would help somebody, I think, you know, not only just succeed in the show, but succeed in their love life, no matter what happens on the show.
Yeah, going on Paradise Bachelor, I think it's difficult not to have expectation. You know, you see everyone else going through it. And you're thinking, that could be me. I couldn't find love. And you know, you have an idea of maybe who the bachelor, bachelorette, who's going to go on Paradise is going to be. And you have an expectation of, I can see myself with this person.
Yeah.
So what's your Yeah, what's your advice for people going on the show? Like, how do you not have expectation after it's all out there, you know?
Well, here's the reality. There's an expectation. It means a strong belief about what should happen. So what happens, though, you got to ask two questions. In order to have an expectation, in the book I talk about, we have to learn the process of setting expectations. That comes down to two questions. One, is the expectation I have realistic or unrealistic? Well, how do I know if it's realistic? Is it in my control? Two, is it spoken or unspoken? Does the expectation need to be communicated? So first, for the first question, let's talk about the show. Okay, so I have an expectation that this show is going to deliver love. Do I control it?
No.
We wish.
Right. No. So why is this so important? Is because, listen, I watch the show, so I'm not the only one. Millions of people see people go on, you know, Bachelor in Paradise, Bachelor, and lose their minds because they psych themselves into thinking that if love doesn't happen for me during this production, love ain't going to happen for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not true. Mm-hmm. It's not true. So you go into the show not getting out of it what you could, because you need from the show more than you're actually bringing to the show.
Yeah.
So when you talk about expectations, it's like the best way to go into the show is to have this expectation. I'm going to be my best self. I'm going to be open to love. I'm going to be the love I want to receive. I'm going to enjoy the experience. And I'm going to let the result be whatever the result is. If I don't find love, it's not a reflection on me. If I don't find love, it's not because I'm not lovable. If I don't find love, it's not because I'm not valuable. I just didn't find love. Okay, great. Cool. Let me keep moving, right? Let me go in for the experience. Let me take the expectation off outside of the expectation that I control, which is how you actually can go onto the show. The other thing is this. The second part of the setting expectations is critical. Communication. Listen, if I was ever on these shows, oh boy, listen. Hey, see, here's the thing. This is something, y'all ask me a question, I'm going to give it to you. Here's the thing. I think there's way too much kissing on these shows. Way too much.
Right.
Oh, we love the kissing. Come on. Just kidding.
Listen, I understand y'all do it. I get it. I am not judging. Here's the reason why I say, why I'm correlating communication and kissing.
This is the author of The Wait here.
That's right. Exactly. No, but here's the thing. I don't have a problem with kissing. I'm just saying, like, yo, like, wait a minute. Wait a second. Hold on a second. First of all, what is your intention? What's going on with you? Like, before I decide I want to kiss you, I need to know what's going on with you. Who are you? Here's who I am, right? Like, and here's the thing. I do not want to, because this, y'all, listen, I'm just telling you my truth. Talk about expectation. So physically, what happens is, oh, even with the fantasy suite, oh, so, you know, and that was a part last season. I was like, man, this show, it's too much for me. You gonna have a fantasy suite with these three women. I don't know what you did. I don't know what you didn't do. And then you come out of it. Oh man, well, let's say that experience, you know, let's say there was a sexual experience, and let's say that sexual experience wasn't exactly what you wanted. So then, because it didn't meet your expectation, in a moment, you come out and you discard somebody actually could have been the right fit.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Who gets it right the first time?
No one.
Mm-hmm. No one. It's knowing someone.
It's knowing especially someone.
It's your first time.
Exactly. So this is why, if you know, I would listen, I'd be talking, I'd be saying, hey, so you want to go into this suite? What is your expectation? Let's get it clear now. I want to know what you're expecting to go down in there, right? Because the more we communicate, then the more information you have to know how you want to navigate the situation. This book is all about getting the power back. You can know, okay, let's say you're in a situation where, you know, hey, the fantasy suite, they tell you, hey, you know what? I want to have sex and see if that we're compatible in that way. Now you have the information, but you have the choice if that's what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Versus not asking the question, And then you get into a situation that maybe you didn't even want to necessarily do that, but because it's already kind of happening and the cameras are outside, you just go with it. Mm-hmm. But in your heart, you're like, man, I didn't really want to do that. This book and this message is all about taking the power back.
I think your book, Live Free, should be required reading for everybody that's going into Paradise and Bachelor, hands down.
Right.
Because we get in our own heads. You know what I mean? Like, while you're in the experience, you're completely in your head.
Right.
I think this book is really, everyone, required reading. I'm going to sign everybody going on the show.
I read his last book, The Wait, before going to do Bachelor Winter Games, and it was like, all the words that I needed to read beforehand. I am a member of the Church of Devon Franklin.
Your shift, but actually, like, your shift after that,
right?
I would say you the way you approached Winter Games was completely different,
yes,
than you had approached other, you know, other episodes of the show. So I think it worked.
I didn't know. Yeah. That's deep. Yeah. I didn't know.
I told him last time, I was like, I went from being single all my 29 years to reading his book and then being engaged 6 months later.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So if you need like one of those things where people write on the back of your book a couple quotes, there's my quote for you.
I got you. That's cool. No, trust me.
Testimonial.
Yeah, I'm coming for you. Don't worry. Thank you. I appreciate that in advance.
All right. Well, to all of our friends heading to Paradise, and to all our single friends and married friends and dating friends and all our friends, I think there's something in Live Free for everyone. Where can they get it? Where do you want them to get it besides Amazon? I know they take 50% of your book sales. I know that's not your top choice.
Oh, man. Hey, they can come to my website, devonfranklin.com. I got all the retailers there, and they can have their pick on where they would get Live Free from. So you can live free on devonfranklin.com.
Amazing. Devon, you are a wonderful guest. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. And Kendall, it's great to meet you.
Great to meet you via Zoom.
All right, y'all, God bless.
All right. Well, that was just a fantastic time. And Kendall, you've been a fantastic co-host. Thanks for sticking around on this long podcast with me and going through all those headlines and having a nice little spiritual experience with Devon together.
No, thank you so much for having me anytime. I absolutely loved it, especially talking to Devon. He's great.
Thank you. We appreciate you. We'll take you up on that. All right. So I think you've been here a time or two since and you've done a sign off with us. So here's how it goes. Guys, we'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening. You can always rate and comment on our podcast if you like it, or if you don't, you know, whatever. Until then, I appreciate you. Love you. Signing off. I've been Ashley.
I've been Kendall.
Too.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Child-proofing people's homes is hard, but Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they also make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/powersafely, available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.
What keeps baby's skin healthy? A diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. That's why Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to keep your baby's skin healthy and dry. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex. Try Swaddlers with new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. Free and Gentle cleans better without risk of tearing. It's made from 100% plant-based cloth that grips the mess and is 5 times stronger. With Free and Gentle, mess meets its match. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruze and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.